Welcome to the Tea Room's private recording suite, a new addition to our growing audience. We're looking forward to hosting future interviews featuring a wide array of voices from all across the blogosphere who are bringing the unsanitized news to the people through the window of alternative media. So stay tuned. You never know who we're going to have on next. So let's get down to some business. Joining us today is Susan Daniels, private investigator from the great state of Ohio. Please join us in welcoming Susan.
Okay, thank you for having me, Helen.
Now, being the straight shooter that you are, tell us why you decided to launch this investigation into President Barack Obama's background. And more importantly, you've done this at your own expense and spending a great deal of time on it. We as an audience have been able to see or reap the benefit of your work here at the Tea Room, given all of the documentation that we've provided in this story. Would you tell the audience what your motivations were, where you started, what you've learned, and just give us the overall story? And if you would, start at the beginning.
I became very unhappy with the new administration early on. And it was something about them immediately pushing to have all these, the TARP money passed, the stimulus bills passed. Everything had to be done in a rush. Everything was in a hurry, hurry, hurry. Immediately, red flags started going up for me. I thought, wait a minute, this guy just got into office. The first executive order that he signs is to prevent anyone from accessing his personal information. I had a problem with that. And then the rush with all this money. And one of my clients and I were talking one day, and he had come to the same conclusions I had. We didn't like the direction things were headed. And he said that he wanted me to look into it. And I said, sure, I'm going to find anything. But I said, yeah, okay. Anyhow, to my astonishment, there are databases, and then there are databases. The ones you can access are nothing like the ones that I can access. Lawyers, private investigators, law enforcement, there are databases that are far more accurate and far more consuming than the public can access. So I started looking at some of them. Well, the larger and more well-known databases, there was no information available, as I expected. But there were some smaller ones that I tried, and lo and behold, I pull up Barack Obama. All I had entered was Barack Obama, Chicago, Illinois, and up comes his Social Security number. Immediately, I knew it was fraudulent. And the reason is, I've done this work for now 16 years, and it's issued in Connecticut, and immediately I knew something was wrong. I knew that in the years 77 to 79, when it was supposed to have been issued, and it actually was issued probably somewhere around March or April of 77. I figured that out by getting the information about the number directly in front of his, which was obviously issued in Connecticut, because that person is now deceased. And once you die, there is no expectation of privacy. And the person before him had applied on March 21st of 1977. So for Obama to have the very next number, he had to apply the same day or within days of it. And I suspect it would have been issued within a week or two after that. Anyhow, if it had been, it should have been a Hawaiian number to start with, because he'd been known to be working very young. So it should have been Hawaiian. And if it had even been California, I might not have paid any attention. But I immediately knew that I had found something. And what I did is I went to a variety of other databases, like this one, smaller, you know, more obscure that people aren't aware of, and was able to verify repeatedly him using the Social Security number. I eventually went and found that you can, their Selective Service has a verification online that anyone could go to. And what it does is it tells you if somebody has signed up at the Selective Service. Now, you go to there, you put a person's name in, you put their Social Security number, and if they ever registered, up it pops. And now anybody can do this. You go to Google and you put in Selective Service Verification. Well, his comes up, and it gives his last name, and it gives his birthday, and it says that the number was issued 9-4 of 80, and it has the last four numbers of the Connecticut Social Security number on there. After I had collected, before I went too much further, I had run the databases and came up with perhaps 8 or 10 pages of addresses for him using that number, everywhere from his home address in Chicago to his student days at Harvard to his when he was a senator in Washington, D.C. And this Social Security number came up at all of those addresses. So I was able to track them from 1980 to 2 years ago. Other than the 1980, I didn't find him start using it until 86. Now, maybe he didn't use it again until 86. I believe the Selective Service application is fraudulent. And the reason I say that is someone has now posted it online. The registration letter that he received after allegedly signing up for a Selective Service. And it says, "Dear registrant, yada, yada, yada." And at the bottom of it, there's a card you cut out and carry in your wallet and all that, you know, all this other stuff on it. It has his Selective Service number, which, by the way, comes up when you go to Selective Service Verification. It's the identical number. It also had his complete Connecticut Social Security number on there, his date of birth. But what caught my eye very quickly is in very, very tiny print where it says what the form number is. Now, keeping in mind this was supposed to have been mailed to him in 1980, the form number at the very end of it in little parentheses says May 07. So what we have here is a pretend letter that he received in 1980 affirming that he had registered for Selective Service, but it's on an 07 form, and that makes no sense whatsoever. Well, when I first found...
Hold on just for a sec. Go back, if you would. You said that the first time you saw the president use this Social Security number was in 1980. Does that refer to the Selective Service application you're speaking to?
It did. The Selective Service application in 1980.
Okay, and so...
The interesting thing is, in an interview, he told somebody how he had signed up in 1979, right after he graduated from high school. The only problem is that he wasn't required to sign up at 79. From 75 to 80, it was not mandatory to sign up for Selective Service. And he said he signed up in 79, which he obviously didn't. If you believe the Selective Service verification that says he was issued his number in September of 1980.
Okay, so in 1979,
right,
he states he applied for Selective Service.
Oh, yeah, he signed up right away. You know, he's such a good citizen. Yeah, he signed up right away,
okay,
even though he wasn't required to.
Okay,
but he didn't say he wasn't required to because He didn't know he wasn't required to.
Right. So he says to someone via an interview that he did this. He signed up for Selective Service in 79.
Right.
The application form that you're referring to that is on the website, or on a particular website, which we will provide links to below this interview. But the Selective Service application filled out by Barack Obama was actually done in 1980.
Right.
And the letter of receipt shows the little teeny, the little writing that you referred to as being sent in 2007. Is that correct?
So it's on a 2007 form.
Very good.
This was either, I suspect that this was put together in 2008. It could have been done as early as 2007. They don't change the forms every year. So it may have been done in 2008.
Okay. So getting back to the Social Security number, so you are clear that you have evidence
right.
documenting as of 1980 via the Selective Service application that is assumed fraudulent, you have that as a record, or at least as the first time you know that he absolutely used that Connecticut Social Security number.
No, actually, at that point, I wasn't aware of the Selective Service card. At that point, I only had managed to verify that he was using that number, the Connecticut Social Security number. It was not till later that I realized you could verify online the Selective Service number. It was with the documents that the addresses and the verifications, because there are like sites where you can verify a Social Security number. I ran him through that, and it came up with first of all something I had never seen before. It came up with his entire name. It said, you know, that the number was issued in Connecticut in between the years of 77 and 79. Above his birthday, which is written both in the foreign manner, or it's day, month, year, and then our way of doing it, it's month, day, year, was the year 1890, was above that. Now, in 16 years, I have never seen that. I've never seen the birthday written two different ways, and I've never seen another date involved. And that's when I started thinking that this is a number that was assigned to somebody previously that he is now using. I took this information and I tried. In fact, I not only tried, I did. I sent it to Rush Limbaugh. I sent it to Glenn Beck. This would have been in September of 09, and never heard a word back from either one of them. Not a hello, goodbye. You're crazy. Don't ever write to me again. Glenn Beck, I sent to his attorney/agent in New York, and they promised to forward it to him. I never heard a word back. So I knew that I couldn't go any further because I knew I had no way to access any information from Social Security. So what I did is I started looking around for a lawsuit. I knew that dozens of them had been filed questioning his eligibility. And I knew if I found one that was had not been dismissed, that was still active, that the attorney involved might be able to, under discovery, get the necessary documents from Social Security. Well, it looked like that case was going to go forward. Unfortunately, it was in a federal court in a Judge David Carter's courtroom. 2 weeks before he dismissed the case, he or somebody hired a law clerk named Siddharth Vellamore, who was from the law firm Perkins Coy in Seattle. So there's Zelamore himself came from Mercer Island, which is where Obama's mother and her family lived. They had, as I said, they had represented Obama in any numbers of lawsuits. And I think I saw numbers recently that, you know, made in excess themselves of $1 million. Several million dollars have now been spent with him trying to defend these lawsuits about his eligibility instead of just coming out with his birth certificate.
So you sought out a lawyer who had a case that was alive and possibly going before a judge. Tell us about what steps you took to try to get this information before, in this case, before Judge Carter.
First of all, I called the attorney, and the attorney was not interested. And I said, well, I found him using what I think is a fraudulent Social Security number. And she said, well, I have that. And I said, oh, okay, well, then never mind. And then said, well, I have the first five numbers. And I said, well, I have the whole thing. So I was asked to submit an affidavit to the court and did. I sent my supporting documents. And then the case was dismissed. And I thought, well, you know, maybe we've hit a roadblock here, but this is definitely not the end of the road. So I started enlisting the aid of other people to try and find, you know, any information that they could find. And that's when, you know, I came across things like, you know, the registration letter from Selective Service, the verification through online Selective Service, and it always keeps coming up with him using a Connecticut number, and there is no way, no how ever that he could have a Connecticut Social Security number. It cannot happen. They're changing it in June, but until now, you get your Social Security number by where you were living when you apply for it. There is the occasional anomaly. I always get somebody that'll call and say, well, I was born such and such, but my thing was here. And it's like, it's not where you're born, it's where you apply. And he was not living in Connecticut at the age of 15 when he was in high school in Hawaii at the same time. There's no excuse. There's no reason. People keep coming up with these fabulous ideas of how he got that number, and they're laughable. They have his father living there. His father left the country in 1965 to return to Africa. He returned once in December of 71 and went to Hawaii for a month. I believe it was a month. And then went back home to Kenya again. Obama never speaks of Connecticut in his book, Dreams from My Father. He never even mentions visiting there. I suspect he was never there before he became president. There's no way to excuse why he has that number. The other thing is there is no way. I've tried for a year and a half to find out who might have had that number first, but there's also no way to find that out either. There are people out there who obviously have too much time on their hands, and they dream of these fantastic theories and then set about to try and prove them. I mean, they work exactly backwards of the way an investigator would do, and their theories are all wrong.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because of late there has been some sort of theory that is being proposed that there's something about the Social Security number and a tax ID number. Do you want to address that?
I really don't know that much about tax ID numbers. I read something about how he was supposed to, he got it at a post office box number. Well, Social Security does not issue the cards to post office numbers. It just doesn't happen. There is somebody, people online have sent out the name of a person that they believe had the Social Security first. And it is such a bizarre tale. It's about a guy who was born in France, who lived in Connecticut, and then died in Hawaii. For some reason, they believe the only way he could have gotten this number is if the guy, now we don't even know if it was a man or a woman, the guy died in Hawaii. And I thought, why would you think that? Why would that be necessary that they died in Hawaii? You know, Bill Ayers, in his book, when he was writing about the weathermen, he bragged about how he was always able to come up with all these, you know, complete IDs for everybody else. And he said they always started with a fake Social Security number. You know, I would be looking at him as the guy who supplied Obama with the Social Security number.
Well, yeah, he does have a creative background.
Yes, he does.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, because I know that I've read just a little bit about that and was hoping you would take just a moment to address that, just because who knows, it might be some information to serve as disinformation so as to divert people's attention once again.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The trouble is now, now that Donald Trump has started hitting on the birth certificate issue, people are getting panicky, because before you never heard. Oh, I mean, of course, there is the group that they so pejoratively refer to as the birthers, and it is meant to be pejorative. What it is a large percentage of the population, in excess of 50%, who do not believe, they're not convinced that he should be in that office. And when Donald Trump brought it up, all of a sudden it caught on fire. Well, I'm hoping that he realizes that the Social Security number may be a bigger issue than even the birth certificate. Because I predict that a birth certificate is going to show up before long. And I predict also that they will not allow it to be forensically examined, and that they won't have medical records to...
Oh, now, wait a minute. We know that Annenberg Fact Check will do a thorough forensic study of that birth certificate.
Oh, yes. And those are people to be trusted.
I'm sorry, I just needed to interject that.
Yeah, of course. And then everybody will say it's been checked and it's fine, and it's not. It won't be fine. What I have tried to do is, I sent last week to Mr. Trump a package that I hope whoever goes through his mail sees fit to forward to him, because I sent all of the documents that I have collected that prove what my allegations are, that he is using a fraudulent Social Security number and has been for a long, long time. There is one piece of evidence I have that I've given to a number of people to hold just in case, and it also shows it's a government issued document, and it shows the Connecticut Social Security number on it. I don't talk about what it is only because in case there are ever congressional hearings, which I don't think that there is anybody in Congress who has the courage to even suggest such a thing. But if they do, I want to be able to tell them where to go find this document, and I want it to still be there. And if I tell anybody what it is, it'll be gone before the sun goes down tonight.
Oh yeah, you can count on that. And you're right, when it comes to Congress, what was it just last week, Michelle Bachmann comes out and says, you know, any focus on the birther issue is just a waste of time.
I saw that, and you know, for the longest time, I thought if she ends up as like a vice presidential candidate, I'm voting for her. And I'll tell you what, the minute I saw her say that, I thought, you won't get my vote under any circumstances. Because what it is they all know, the Republicans, Democrats, federal judges, everybody knows that he is not eligible to hold that job. Everybody knows it, and everybody is scared of getting caught with their pants down now. I also sent last week, not only to the Trump Organization, but to the Department of Justice and the Social Security Administration, the same documentation proving what my allegations are, and telling them they have an obligation to immediately commence an investigation into the Social Security number. Now, is that going to happen? Probably not. But they will never be able to say that nobody formally ever asked them to do it.
Well, good for you. That, because what you're doing, too, Susan, is you're creating a paper trail. And, you know, so often folks get passionate about a particular subject, topic, whatever it might be, and they kind of just get passionate about it and then kind of move on. Whereas with you and so many others, you know, we're doing everything we can to create that paper trail, to document everything we can get our hands on, so as to demonstrate, like you said, the sheer insanity of anybody even suggesting that this gentleman who sits in our White House has eligibility issues. And it's not, and this is where, if I indulge me just for a moment, this is where I probably get more annoyed than anything, and that is personally, I think Barack Obama is a very likable person. I don't have anything on a personal level, pro or anti the president. It's a question of the Constitution. And unless that document has somehow been voided and thrown away, of which none of us have been made aware of, then we must follow what the Constitution outlines. And therefore, you know, like you said, using the pejorative term of birther, well, it's insulting, but at the same time, I think it's more insulting to the person who uses the pejorative term. It tells me how little that particular individual cares about the Constitution and our form of government. So I'm sorry, I just needed to interject that. So,
well, the Constitution is not dead, and I'll tell you why. Because every time it serves Obama, he pulls it out. Otherwise, it's, you know, the hell with it. But when he wants to, when it's to his advantage, he'll remark on the Constitution. I don't find him likable at all. I find him pretentious. I find him childish. I am unimpressed with his, you know, alleged intelligence. I've heard him speak without papers in front of him. And notice now that he never uses a teleprompter anymore. Now he reads off papers on a dais in front of him. Obviously, people got sick of him using the teleprompters, and it was a pretty embarrassing picture when it showed him speaking to a class of third graders and had the two teleprompters in front of him. I don't think he's intelligent at all. I think he reads wonderfully. I think he would have made a great actor, and in fact is a great actor. He's playing the role of the President of the United States.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Is there anything else that you would like the listeners to know with regards to next steps, other work you might be engaged in with regards to this? Is there anything else, or is there a parting comment that you would like to share with us?
Well, I intend to pursue these packages that I sent off. I sent it off to Eric Holder and the guy in charge of the criminal division of the Department of Justice, and I sent it off to Astru and O'Carroll at the Social Security Administration. If I don't hear anything in a week or so, I intend to follow up on that and ask them what they intend to do. I do send everything, certified, so I can follow the stuff, and I know that two of the packages arrived today. I expect the other two to get there tomorrow. I'm not going to stop. I mean, there's no reason to. There is a truth in here somewhere, and I think that the Obama supporters, when the truth comes out, will not like what the truth is, and in fact will probably never admit what the truth is, even when they hear it. I am going to try and follow up with Mr. Trump's office with the letter. If maybe I can send it to him. Maybe if it's my personal and confidential, he'll get it. I don't know. I'm hoping to hear back from them. I'm not done. I know what I've found. I know that there is no reason why the President of the United States is using a phony Social Security number. I know there is no way he legitimately got it. I believe he had one before. He should have a Hawaiian one, like his half-sister does. I'm not done, and I encourage anybody if they believe they can do something to help, do it. Do everything the right way. Do everything. You do not do anything the wrong way. And when I say that, I mean illegally. I wouldn't dream of doing that. And I wouldn't want to see anybody else do that, because you will end up in trouble. I from time to time expect a knock on my door with people accusing me of trying to cause problems for the president. What I'm trying to do is, I'm a seeker of the truth. I'm like you, Helen. All we want to do is point out the truth. And I'm not going to stop until somebody can prove to me that I'm wrong. And so far, in a year and a half, nobody has been able to do that.
Well, very good. And something tells me nobody will be able to do that.
No, they won't. I'd have to be a crazy person. I mean, completely off my rocker to make these kinds of allegations against the President of the United States if I didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, and one thing you are not is off your rocker. That's for sure.
I don't think so, but well, I could probably bring forth a couple of people that might disagree.
Yeah, well, the children don't.
Your own children don't count.
That's right. They don't. They're not allowed to have an opinion.
No.
So with that, Susan, I thank you so much for your time, and this has been certainly elucidating, and hopefully it's going to help clean up the record a little bit, and hopefully more information flows and more investigative work that you come upon, you'll come back and share that with us. And with that, Susan, thank you and have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Helen. I appreciate you giving me the time.